What if your body has been keeping score, not just of your pain, but of every experience, every memory, every moment you've ever lived? Today's guest is Heather Frelick, founder of the Healing Eclectic in Chicago, former professional dancer, myofascial release therapist, craniosacral therapist, Reiki master, and somatic bodywork practitioner. Heather is trained in the body-mind method and founded the online self-healing platform, Fluidify Fascia and Wellness. And she's here to blow your mind about what your body already knows. We talk about her life as a dancer, the beauty, the discipline, and yes, the abuse our bodies take when we push them without truly understanding them. We talk about how our earliest experiences get stored in our tissues, our fascia, our cells, and how the body is always, always communicating with us. Our bodies are beacons of intelligence, and this conversation, it will change how you listen to yours. Oh, and how did we find each other? Through one of those luminous threads that seem to be dotting all over this country and the world. A cold winter day in Chicago, a gathering of beautiful women, and the kind of resonance that says, yes, this connection matters. That's how this works, friends. Welcome, welcome. Let's get into the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I am with Heather Frelick. And Heather, welcome here. I want to say first and foremost, I'm going to give you the runway very soon. But I really thought it was important to kind of say a moment of how we met. And I think it's moments where we respond to invitations that are put our way. And we just feel in our heart that yes is the answer. Now, I'm going to go off script because I wrote this on a little script, but I was at Sundance with my son, Ben, and we had enjoyed like 6 days out there, and it was Monday and we were going to fly back to Chicago. And I got a message in my inbox from Tama Keeves. And I had interviewed Tama, I wrote down the episode. She was in, let me see, episode 79. And I only knew Tama because my good friend Susan Lucci here in town had held circles for years and was a good friend of Tama's. So Tama's episode, I'll just say, was called Facing Our Fears, Embracing Our Lives, and Creating Miracles. So I knew there was something in me. I was craving a women's event. And it came through and she said she was going to be at this place called Altar Community, which I had never been to, which is in Chicago and founded by Kathy Bresler, whom I will interview in you know, sometime in the near future for sure. But I went and that's the day we met. And I just knew it was like a really heart-centered yes to go. And we had the opportunity, I think, to speak to one another a bit that day in these breakouts. And I met you and Beth Barrich and a couple other women, but we kind of like had the little, like, it wasn't a triangle, but we were sitting next to each other. And I think there was something in me that's like, let's get these women's phone numbers and let's go to dinner. And I just feel like that was all just such a heart-centered, like just following the thread, following the weaving, following the unfolding and the unraveling of what the universe is showing the way. So, and the really cool thing about that too, is there are so many parts of that web. And you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of that phrase, oh, what a tangled web we weave. But I'm not sure exactly where that came from, but can we change that tangled word? And what words would you put in there? What I was thinking, what a luminous web we weave, what a, you know, heart-centered. Welcome and what's coming to you?
Oh, just what came in for me immediately was a connected weave or interconnected weave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of funny with the tangled, right? I was like, tangled is kind of tangled. I need something higher. And so anyway, to welcome you, Heather, you know, how I understood your work was that you were a former dancer who, what I learned that day, who had really gotten into body work and the work of myofascial expertise and, you know, combined with your energy work around Reiki and craniosacral, and just how that has guided you, and then getting into somatic. And I know you have interest in shamanism, and you're just kind of like your own very unique blend of what body work means to you and what body intelligence, and just all the words that you're going to put to it today. And I really love this episode because I think we are, yes, we will touch upon sisterhood and community and things like this, but I am taking this opportunity to have you in the hot seat to say, like, teach us about this, tell us about this. And I mean, what feels natural to start with you? Is it your dancer background and being in your body in that way as a child? And I don't know, what's coming to you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be here. And I just loved our connection, like, immediately from the start when we were at Tam McKeeve's event. And a couple of things that have come to mind listening to you just now is, like, when you were talking about following the thread, they're a team, Yakov and Susanna Darling Khan, who are my movement medicine teachers. They talk about following that golden thread of life. And I feel like through my life experience so far, that has been, I've always been brought to the right place, if you will. And I do that in quotation marks, because what is right necessarily for me, right feels aligned. Right mm-hmm. feels like I'm not questioning where I'm at. Right feels like, okay, my whole body and brain and heart want to be doing what I'm doing, or be where I'm at, or be who I'm with. And, you know, I have to say, yeah, I did start off as a dancer, as you said. And, you know, my mom used to joke around a lot that when I was a late walker, actually, and she would always tell me the story that I danced before I walked, because I kept holding on to this little walking truck toy. And one day she was dancing in the living room with my childhood friend that she was babysitting, to Sesame Street Fever. And she saw me at one point looking at them, holding onto my little walker. And then she said they were turning around, and the next time they turned to face me, I let go of the walker and I was dancing all around the room, and I could walk ever since then. So
I love it.
Yeah, I, it's a sweet story that I'm grateful she reminds me of. And yet, you know, when I went into the world of dance, I followed that thread of majoring in dance because at the time, you know, I really struggled with self-esteem growing up. Yet dance was what got me through everything. And dance is where I just felt most alive. Dance is where I felt most connected. And it just felt like that's what I needed to do. And so I pursued that and danced professionally and taught throughout my 20s. Yet I was ailed with chronic knee injuries that I couldn't seem to get over the hump and rehabilitate. So back to the golden thread line, you know, when it came time towards the end of my dance career, and I pulled myself out of my dance career, no one forced me into retirement except for me, because it got to the point where I was afraid to go on stage. And that I knew was a problem. I also wasn't bringing my joy to my dance classes that I was teaching. That didn't feel right. You know, the students were there because they loved it. They wanted to dance, but then they had an angry dance teacher. That didn't line up. So when I turned away from that world, the golden thread that I followed was speaking casually with some of my friends who were dancers that turned massage therapists. And so I started exploring massage therapy by receiving it, by going to some of the schools. And yet during that exploration, my head was telling me, no, go get your doctorate in physical therapy. And I'm not mocking physical therapy. Physical therapy is a wonderful profession, but that's how my head was characterizing, like, what I needed to do, because that's what society felt was more important. And the more I listened to that, the heavier in my body I felt, the more down I felt. But each time I would go look at a massage therapy school, especially the one I ended up attending, something inside of me came alive and I became curious. And so that's how I entered that field, because of that curiosity and alignment. And
that's really cool, because there's a lot of permissions that you have to give yourself to untether from the matrix and the PhDs and the letters behind our name. And it's different letters that aren't necessarily exalted. Yet the ironic thing about it, they're things that everyone needs and they want and they desire. Yet we would just screw up in such a hierarchical way where one was better than the other. But you're saying like it was heart. I felt it in my body. It was heart led. It was where I was meant to be.
Yes. It almost is innate in me to live this way. And when I first entered the field of massage therapy, I was originally intending to learn how to heal my body. Because the other little caveat is when I was getting my dance training, I was also immersed in anatomy and physiology training as well. And I loved those subjects so much, I couldn't get enough. So that was another clue to keep following that thread. But once I started practicing massage therapy, I started falling in love with helping other people. And I didn't realize just how disconnected so many people are from their bodies, where they almost can't hear what their heart's trying to say, or they don't know what their body needs until it really starts screaming at them. Now, mind you, that's a very generalized statement. I saw more of that than not. There are definitely people that are connected as well. But one of the things that became another golden thread was listening to clients and hearing their requests to learn how to listen to their bodies in the way that they saw me doing, for example.
Yeah. And in the early days, I'm curious about massage when you actually physically start working with people's bodies. I'm sure there's a lot of learning that's coming online while you're doing that, right? Because that's to be in someone's sacred space to work on their body through massage, that alone is huge. And I think we kind of take that for granted because when you're signing up for a massage, and I had one that was way too intense for me recently, and there was a language barrier, but there was also like part of me that wasn't saying, you know, raising the red flag, like speaking up for myself, because I mean, that's just an aside that's coming to mind, but I think like when we sign up to go get massages, we're kind of like, we're signing over a lot of sacredness and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's such this is who we are. So such a privilege to be in people's energy spaces, but then what were you learning about it as you were like working on their bodies, their muscles, their, I don't know, feeling skin, like all the things that are just brand new to a beginning massage therapist?
I am so grateful you're bringing this up because this is something that's been really cool in my years of teaching. I just teach, you know, myofascial release and cranial sacral therapy in massage school. I haven't ventured into teaching it full time just because of the demands of my current practice. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it's been really cool to see the classes that I've been teaching. The people that have been drawn in are like more and more sensitive from the get-go. And I'm finding it's like almost a younger generation that has like almost this innate sensitivity, which has been a delight and a surprise. But that being said, you know, my first 7 years working as a massage therapist, I didn't know at the time that that was my time to really start honing my skills, but also understanding what direction I felt called, my whole being felt called to take this work. And that being said, I feel like going into this, I feel there was an innate sensitivity from my dance career. You know, as a dancer, you are always being spatially aware of the other dancers around you, the audience, you know, the curtains of the stage, you know, and so that sensitivity, I think, was fine tuned. So when it came to working, you know, with other people's energy fields before I even made hands-on contact, that felt innate. And really learning of like, okay, what comes through me more naturally? I mean, I really tried very hard for several years to like be a really great deep tissue massage therapist. I excelled eventually, but that's not the medium that I'm called to being as called to share. Mm-hmm. And during that exploration though, 3 years in to my career, I really burned myself out to the point where my left shoulder was also kind of dangling from the socket. I couldn't put weight on it. So I had to take a month off. Mm. That's when Reiki entered into my life via a good friend of mine. That's like, Heather, I think you're great with working with other people's energies. She's like, but you never mind your own. So yeah, that was when I was introduced to Reiki level one and really learned how to heal thyself first and really understand, whoa, I am giving way too much of myself. That's not what this is about. This is about to be centered and hold space for another. Then that's when the true dance begin, if you will.
Okay, that's really cool. Okay. So, yeah, because a lot of people think like when you start doing massage therapy, you're just working with the body. But then when you're bringing in these other modalities, you're learning about auric fields, you're learning about how energy is held. And that's one thing I do want to talk about today, but I want to first say I currently have a shoulder issue. And it's so easy when we have injuries to say it's because I was overdoing yoga. It was just too many demands on my body, but I am not, I've been around the block enough to know that it's also symbolizing what I've been carrying. And so both can be true, right? And just is that's part of the reading and the knowing and the there's like a I think there's an openness there to be curious as to the way that our body is showing us. But just because you mentioned the shoulder, and I thought, and you know what I was thinking about with injury, just as I was preparing today, like I thought about that word injury, and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting word. And it has the word in it, and it has the word jury in it. And I'll say what kind of came. I looked it up right away, and it says, I had written what are injuries, and it said the word injury originates from the 14th century Middle English injury, like IE, and Latin injuria, breaking down into not, the word not, like, and then right law. So word wise, it means wrongful action, injustice, or unlawful damage. And I thought that that was really interesting because then at the end, it said physiological damage to organisms caused by physical, mechanical, thermal, or chemical energy that exceeds body tolerance. That is kind of what caught my eye a little bit because exceeds body tolerance. That's pretty fascinating, right? And very telling. So
Oh,
thoughts.
it is. And I'm loving where you're going with this because I never thought about it like that. And what is intolerant to the body? Is it the movement? Is it what we're carrying mentally, emotionally? Is it the lack of connection to our body? What could it be? And this is something I'm still exploring, if you will. One of the things that I'm also curious about, though, too, is sometimes because there is more of an understanding that what we carry mentally, emotionally can show up in our body physically if what we're carrying mentally, emotionally is not being processed and moved through us. And yet, I also have seen a number of people really get almost hard on themselves if they haven't fully processed to every single layer of the onion. And I just invite, if anyone listening is in that place, maybe invite in some gentle compassion for yourself, because I also have found over the years that I think there needs to be room for mystery as well. Sometimes what I've seen come up on the table, whether it's a release of a holding pattern physically, or emotions that are moving through a client because an emotional release is occurring, there is a space there. And sometimes people call that a void. And yes, we want to make sure that that void doesn't just remain a vacuum for anything to come in. We want to intend that a healthier pattern comes in. But yet, also within that space, there's a little bit of mystery too. Sometimes things have yet to be explained or cannot be explained.
I get
So, for what that's worth, I feel like I might have
No,
unintentionally
I think
got on a tangent.
it's valuable because at one point we did not know any of this information, right? And so we may have just been like, it's an injury and I've got to do, you know. And so it's like the unraveling of the awarenesses and then the curiosity. But and I think it's something that we each get to name for ourselves. I think that's one thing that really has come for me because I had gone through a bigger sort of illness, you know, six or what was it, 8, 9 years ago now, or eight. And, you know, I said some after I had gone through it, I had said something about, you know, emotions that are were unprocessed. And as part of it, as part of it, not the whole. There's the mystery, like you're saying. I like the way you're saying that. And but then someone close to me said, that's not accurate. You're not accurate about that, because that's not what like conventional teaches by any means. And so, you know what my response was? Anybody going through anything gets to name what their experience is, and no one else gets to name that for them. Does that resonate?
Yes, absolutely. That I am so passionate about what I do and everything that I offer, in my work. A are modalities that have helped me personally. I feel like if I don't have a direct experience with what I'm offering others, I feel like I can't just authentically share that work with someone else. But also, it invokes that level of passion and curiosity in me to wanna deep dive into study, for example, the past 15 years, getting my expert level myofascial release credentials. That was a long time of study, and I'm still studying it. But I'm backtracking here for a second. That is one thing that gets me passionately enraged, if you will. When someone comes in to see me, or I'm having just a conversation, case in point, that someone had the audacity to tell you what you're experiencing in your body or what your experience has been. That's one of the things when I work with clients or even with students in a larger group, trust what you feel, trust what you notice. And when I'm working directly hands-on with people, I always tell them, please be vocal with me in the session. If something hurts outright or even feels like a red flag sensation where you're feeling in your gut or in your heart and your mind, this feels a little strange. I'm not sure if I should be feeling this sensation. Let me know, because I will be able to tell what your fascia needs, your cranial sacral system needs from the outside, but I am not in your body. I'm not in your experience. I don't know what possible traumas might be held there. I don't know what past experiences you've had. You do. So if something's not feeling right to you, or if something's provoking a response where you feel memories or emotions coming to the surface that you're not quite ready to face or be with, let me know, because this is a two-way street here. Yeah, I might be the quote-unquote expert coming in with my knowledge and experience and 22 years of practice, but I am not the expert in your life experience. So you bring that to the table too. And what I have found is that, when someone's receptive to that and open to, being that partner in that healing dance, if you will, they walk away feeling more empowered. They walk away trusting themselves more. They walk away feeling like they know their body better and they know themselves more. That to me, if someone can walk away from a session, a class, a conversation with me, feeling that way, then I feel like my contribution to the work is done. Like,
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's making me think of there's a lot of different ways. And I think that this is what's really important right now, just what's happening in general, is work like yours is it's coming to the surface more. And maybe there's new practitioners. And you said you listened to Chiquita's episode. She was saying too that the younger people coming to her are like, whoa, what is going on here? They're just like shining way. They're like in touch in a different way, much earlier than maybe, you know, our generation. But I really love what you're saying. But like that this work is coming online, and what you're describing about how people walk away with these revelations and these insights. It is a lot, because you are listening deeply, very undervalued and much needed skill in society in general. So the any way we listen into someone else's experience, that's I was even thinking that as I washed my hair this morning, because it's very, very on the surface for me. But there are many roads into our healing or our self-understanding, and it can be sitting with a therapist and processing, or a coach processing emotions on like that mental, emotional level. It can be doing energy work, body work, myofascial release, you know. So it's kind of cool. So it's a little bit like Oh, choose what's most resonant with you, starting back to where you began. Like, what was the right place for you? What was the alignment? What was the, and that's where I'm really curious. And that's one way I see this podcast is like, let's put a lot of this stuff out there and you get to decide which one, like a big menu, you know?
Yes, and it's reminding me of these books that I grew up with, the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Those
Yeah.
were my favorite. And that's one of the things too. I recently just got done teaching a stretch of myofascial release workshops at a few yoga studios here in the city.
Yes.
And one of the things that I point out is there are different ways to approach the fascial tissue. There is Rolfing, structural integration, the John Barnes approach that I practice. Fascial stretching, anatomy trains, those are just to name, a few of them. And I've had history with studying with certain teachers who are very much like this way or no way. I can't subscribe to that, never have been able to, because to your point, healing can happen in so many different ways. And if you go with the path that's most resonant to you, that is going to be the most healing to you. Even if you start off with the path and realize, hey, I'm actually feeling called to go this way now, or no, you want to stick with the original, whatever it might be, there's so many different options available to us, and it's wonderful because then you
It's
can
so
choose your
exciting.
own adventure.
Yeah, it's such a good analogy. Or just like the choose your own adventure in life. I mean, that's what we're doing based on what is right for us. And every single person's going to look different.
Can I share one more thing on
Go
that?
ahead. Please do.
And that's one of the things I'm noticing with some of my somatic coaching clients who are really, a number of them have actually kind of, if you will, and I wasn't expecting to attract this kind of experience to this work that I've been doing with clients lately. But many of them that are coming to me are finding that they're at a crossroads where they've chosen a life path and something stopped them in their tracks where they're like, is this my life path? Am I,
Yeah.
or am I living someone else's? Or am I living an unhealed dream? What is this? And they're wanting to take a moment in their life to stop and inquire and receive support around that. And it's a lot of people that I've worked with so far are realizing that they haven't chosen their own adventure, that they're choosing, and I say quote unquote choosing, because it's not necessarily conscious, an adventure that's been chosen for them, whether they're aware of it or not. And when a lot of people have talked to me about feeling stressed about, I don't know if I'm living my purpose. Now, I could be wrong on this, but what I've found in my experience so far is that when you're questioning whether or not you're living your purpose, you most likely might not be living it. I find that when I went through a period of time questioning my purpose, I felt out of alignment with myself.
Yeah, okay.
Lately, I haven't questioned my purpose one iota for quite some time because I just feel aligned with what I'm doing. And I noticed that's not just with me, but also with some other clients that I've worked with that have connected and aligned to what their adventure is.
Right. And like we were saying, most likely there are threads in what you're doing that it's not like so off the mark. It could be, but I mean, my career was speech language pathology. What do I do? I communicate. I use my voice. You know what I mean? A connection, just all the things. Use your language, use your words. It's kind of just uncanny, like how that was so valuable. And yet when I moved into this world, you know, it's different. I don't know if everyone knows how to like what to do with it necessarily, but it doesn't matter because I know, and I know that there's a purpose and a higher plan for it. So
Yes.
that's what I'm listening to. So I wanted to ask you too, just because I had heard recently, I don't know, I've heard myofascial for years, your fascia. But can you describe what it is and like what purpose it serves in our body? And then I had heard recently that emotions are stored in the fascia. Is that true? And so can you just like give us a primer on fascia and whatever you think is important for us to know?
Totally. And I want to
I know
just
that's big.
preface this by saying, yeah, I could easily go down the rabbit hole with this. So please stop me if you're like, okay, that's a good amount of information.
Okay,
We'll
I will. I will.
move on. So essentially, fascia is a three-dimensional web of connective tissue. And this three-dimensional web it not only gives our body shape, but it helps separate the structures in our bodies, even every muscle group down to the tiniest muscle fiber. So, for example, the quadriceps muscle, that is a group of four individual muscles that make up the quadricep group. So the quadricep group is embedded in a layer of this three-dimensional fascia. Each four individual quadricep muscles are embedded in their own layer of fascia. Then you break it down even further to every muscle fiber, to every muscle fibril. All of those are embedded in their own layer of fascia. So it's like, sometimes my clients ask me, is it muscle or is it fascia? I'm like, oh, it's kind of both. It's all in one. But this three-dimensional web also embeds every organ, nervous system tissue, lymphatic tissue, cardiovascular tissue, all our arteries and veins, down to every cell in our body. So it's almost like our whole body underneath the surface of the skin is like embedded in this spider web of tissue. And yet there is also, so these fibers are primarily made up of collagen and elastin, and this is where I could go down the rabbit hole, but I won't. And but in between those layers, there is it's almost like kind of a mucousy gel-like substance that my late mentor John Barnes would call the ground substance. Now there's several different names coming out for what this substance is. Some of you listening may have heard of interstitium. Some of you may have heard of the polysaccharide gel complex. Again, rabbit hole discussion, but I'll stop it right there. And so the important thing about that ground substance, I'm just going to quote John Barnes right there. The ground substance there is that important metabolic processes take place, like lymphatic flow, white cell movement, all that good stuff. And so when the fascial system becomes constricted in any way, and mind you, Richard Hardy is a physical therapist who says this term that I love, fascia is a water-loving tissue. When fascia is in its healthy state, and actually, if you're open to this, I'd be happy to share with you a link to Dr. Jean-Claude, pardon me if I'm saying his last name wrong, Giambertò. He has done a lot of work on living fascial tissue. And when you see living fascia, which he has recorded, and there's this beautiful work that he's done called Strolling Under the Skin. And there's a couple of YouTube clips. I'd be happy to share the link with you if you'd like for people to check out that shows living fascia. When it's healthy, it's very hydrated and the movement of the fascia can glide with ease. And when that's happening, we feel like we're moving with ease. Yet when constrictions start to happen, dehydration alone can cause fascial restrictions. So when in doubt, drink your water. If you're feeling any, tightness in your body when you wake up in the morning, drink your water. See if that helps take care of it. But if it's past that point, that tissue can start to, enclose on that ground substance. So, cardiovascular activity, circulation is not as fluid through your system. Lymphatic flow isn't as fluid, and pooling can start to happen in the limbs and swelling. So when we address those fascial restrictions, it rehydrates the system and it opens up space for that ground substance to start moving with greater ease, and your metabolic function can function more efficiently from there. Now, the other thing too is this tissue, again, my late mentor John Barnes says it's called the tissue of consciousness, meaning any unprocessed emotion, memory, or experience. Again, that has gone unprocessed, doesn't just go out into the ethers and we don't have to deal with it again. Our fascial system stores that energy, stores those emotions, and they get lodged in our body. And so oftentimes when people are experiencing myofascial release, a session, or they're self-treating, they might experience emotions start flooding to the surface. Or even memories that they seemingly haven't thought about in years come back online. And that is because the fascia is like, oh, you're addressing me now. Now I can let this go, free up this space, create space to make room for your new life, your current life to come in. So that's it in a nutshell. And I was about to go into how we treat the fascia, but I could stop right there if if you have any questions.
Well, I'll just reflect back. The tissue of consciousness is, I think that's what, when I had read the thing about emotion, and I feel like, you know, I've been studying what I've been studying for years, and sometimes we'll read this sentence, we're like, well, gee, I didn't know that. And yeah, it's brilliant. And something that you wrote, like when we were just kind of conferring on what will we talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, just trust me. No, that wasn't what I was going to say. But you said something about, yeah, Maureen, if we have a moment to talk about the microcosm of our bodies, mirroring the macrocosm of the universe, something that, like, when you're describing how, like, all of these body systems and the muscles and then the fascia within the fascia and the bundles and the, it kind of reminded me of that, how you had said the microcosm, which I think is a fascinating, because what you're telling me is that our body is beyond intelligent and well-designed, like beyond anything. And that's where I think the first half of our life, we were just kind of like taking it for granted. We had no idea. We were possibly abusing our body in ways, whether it's people through food or alcohol or those kind of things, or, you know, limiting greatly how much you were eating or over-exercising or overriding injuries, like all the things we do when we're less conscious. But there's something, I guess there's the microcosm, macrocosm, but there's also the intelligence of our body, where if those things are not working for us anymore, our body is going to be communicating with that. And if we're willing to listen, it's got a lot of guidance for us. So, I mean, either direction.
I feel like there's definitely direction there that I will respond to with that. And also, I feel like there are two really important aspects about the fascial system. Can I just share that before I go into the microcosm, macrocosm?
Please.
Okay. So two things I'd really love for people to understand, if they don't know this already, who are listening, is the fascia does not show up on any current imaging tests that we have, whether it's x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, ultrasounds. Now, there are some doctors that are working on trying to create some imaging that we can detect fascial restrictions, but I share that with you because there's been a number of clients throughout the years that have come to see me that will say, I've had every scan in the world and my doctor just says it's in my head. Or they're just butting up against a mystery and they heard about myofascial release and it's their quote unquote last resort. So they just want to give it a try and see. And, you know, I don't want to say that every time it hits it out of the ballpark, but oftentimes we are dealing with fascial restrictions that are creating their pain. Now, also the second part I want to share too, is that there are two quotes, one by Ida Rolf, the creator of Rolfing, mother of myofascial release, where you think it is, it ain't. And John Barnes would say, treat the symptom, look elsewhere for the cause. What that means is someone comes in with symptoms, definitely say hello there. And yet the nature of the fascial system, the fascia is one full body system.
Yeah.
It knows no separate parts. So if there is restriction in one area of the fascial system, it's not just a separate, you know, place that restriction is taking place. It's going to start pull, like if you can see my sweater here, it's going to start pulling and distorting other areas of the fascial system. So for example, you know, you can't really see fully on this screen here. I'll tilt a little lower. I'm contracting my diaphragm here. And when I contract, let's say this is where the root is, I'm contracting my diaphragm. And then if that doesn't get treated over time, that tissue through the sweater starts pulling at my left shoulder. And now I have this left shoulder pain.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were my own client, I would come in and get the shoulder pain treated, but this is only taking care of part of it. Mm-hmm. Through myofascial release, part of our job, meaning myself and my fellow myofascial release therapists, our job is to feel the system. Where else is the fascia taking us? And there are also some visual cues that will show us, as well as felt sense. So something to think about. For those of you that are dealing with like this mystery symptom that you don't feel like you're getting over the hump,
Yes,
it could be
it's
coming
like
from something else.
it's the word exquisite comes to mind, and it reminds me of whenever I feel an injury or something off coming on, I'll call the local chiropractor. If people live in the area, it's Jim Nugent and his wife own River Forest Health and Wellness, Jennifer Strang, and it's just a beautiful little place, but I'll always get an appointment there because I do not I'm getting older and I'm like, no, I want to be able to move. And another thing that came to me the other day that I said to my husband is, I think with this shoulder, like I realized that my upper girdle of the shoulders, neck, like I don't feel great. I'm 56 going on 57. And I'm like, I don't want to feel like this. I want to feel very vibrant and alive and not like tense and caught up as I age. You're smiling like, yes, Maureen, that is possible. And I think, but when I went in to see him on Tuesday, he goes, what you're saying about the pain is screaming like rotator cuff, but he was doing all the things of the suppressing or like pressing down like this. And I'd be like, I don't feel anything. And put your hand behind your back. I don't feel anything. And so he's like, I have to look. It's almost like you're saying like the forest through the trees or what, like look where. It's like, look over there. No, that means you're supposed to look everywhere else. And we all have those, maybe injuries or surgeries or accidents when we were little that could be tugging on us in ways that are not beneficial.
Oh my gosh, right on. And this is feeding right into the microcosm, macrocosm. And I'm going to share one other thing too, scar tissue. The nature of scar tissue, if it has gone untreated, like let's say you had a surgery and never had scar tissue massage or any work to address the scar tissue directly, the nature of the fascial system, if that scar tissue, even though you see it on the surface, there's activity happening underneath it. And as that scar tissue is forming underneath the surface of the skin, if that's not treated, that will start to spread through the fascial system. And sometimes some of the pain patterns that start to develop in someone can be related to that original scar. And I work with a lot of scar tissue clients, and it's fascinating to see how their bodies heal and become resilient from the scar.
That's so interesting because I had a big injury when I was seven and I fell on a table and it was like this whole, we were acting like we were Nadia Comăneci from the Romanian gymnastic star and it went wrong. I was not a gymnast. It went very wrong. So I have a very big scar from that. And I know, but I have two questions. One is now when my daughter had the more like arthroscopic surgery for her appendix bursting when she was four and a half, can those scars that are more what we consider almost like microscopic also pull? Because they seem so small, like they're little incisions, but they can also pull and imbalance.
I mean, to your point, they're super small for sure, especially on the surface, they're super small. And yet, a whole perhaps organ was taken out. What is happening underneath the surface of the skin to help the body, the whole system, be like, oh, okay, something's missing now. Something's gonna shift and change here. So, but you know, also it's very important to, you know, if you get a surgery, please don't hop in and see your local myofascial release therapist right from the get-go. The body needs some of its own innate healing time before you can get that work done. And unless there's any complications, heaven forbid, from a surgical procedure or what have you, a general rule of thumb is 6 weeks post-op is a safe zone as long as there's no complications. And of course, as long as you get your doctor go ahead with that
I
too.
know.
Yeah, you want to make sure of that.
Good.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you were going to say.
Well, my other question really, like I think of women because this is such a big subset of women who have had the C-sections. And I personally have not had that, but it's very, oh, it's so routine. We do it all the time. But I had a woman on very early, and her name was Barbara Horsley. She was up in Michigan, and she did a lot of like almost womb healing. Like her definite, like I can't remember the exact expertise, but we kind of I remember her talking about, and so can you just address like the, or just I guess sort of, I imagine quite a few listeners have had C-sections and just how that also can really do, like the scarring internally can have repercussions.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even if you gave birth vaginally, all of us have slight postural possible deviations. There might be other experiences that our fascial system has experienced throughout life that would create different experiences, even if it was a vaginal birth, even if it was a cesarean section. Everyone has a different experience in their bodies. And so that being said, back to the scar tissue specifically, there are so many women who have not had it treated historically. Now, pelvic floor therapy has been considered more well known nowadays. Again, I know I keep referring to him, but my late mentor, John Barnes, would talk about and recommend that women who are pregnant, you know, get pelvic floor therapy pre, during, and postnatal time, because it really helps if there is any underlying tension pattern within the pelvis, within the pelvic bowl, that those can be addressed before, during, and afterwards. So your healing process, even though giving birth is considered a part of our natural body response, it can be more of an easeful experience if you have that extra support. And so with the scar tissue, even if you didn't have pelvic floor therapy at the time of your birth, even if it was 20 years ago, there is still a positive impact that receiving some work now can have on your system.
Oh,
I'm not
wow.
Sure if that answered your question or if there was something that you wanted to go into with that.
No. I just think that everything that you're sharing kind of, it does like it, you know, at some point you have to kind of be like, okay, because I think like one question, once we start opening the floodgates, it's like we have so many revelations and so many things come to mind, like, oh, aha moments and all the beautiful things. So, and then did you say yet anything about micro macro? I don't know.
You know, it's so funny that you were saying that, because I was just thinking, I'm like, I definitely want to address that, you know, and talk about revelations. There's a couple of revelations I'm having through our conversation with regard to that. So as you know, as I shared with you, I had a brief period of time where I was training to be an acupuncturist. I went to Chinese medicine school to become a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. Love the medicine so much. Loved my experience in school. However, it came second semester when we were actually supposed to practically start applying the needles after learning all the points and pathologies, all that good stuff. I could not get myself to needle people, no matter. I had friends coming over to my apartment trying to do like interventions. And I was a scaredy cat in the sense of my physical response. Anytime I would get close to even my own body with that needle, I would jump back. And I love receiving acupuncture. So it was a surprise. But during that time, I kept, when I would meditate or journal or dream, I kept seeing this image, two hands from the sky crossing over like this and making contact with someone's back. And I was like, I guess I have to drop out of acupuncture school and just keep going with body work and massage therapy. Little did I know, 7 years later, when I started studying myofascial release and I saw John Barnes go like this and put his hands on someone's back, I almost fell out of my chair, because that is what I saw in my image, in my visualizations. I'm like, I am in the right place. I need to be studying myofascial release, but I digress.
Yeah.
Part of the premise that I learned in Chinese medicine school is that, in a nutshell, Chinese medicine sees us human beings as microcosms of a macrocosmic universe. And if you think of just specifically the earth, if you look outside of ourselves in the natural world, not the man-made world, the natural world, everything that's happening in our weather system, in our, you know, water system, whether it's the ocean, lakes, rivers, what have you, and the actual earth itself, all of those type of processes that we're seeing outside of ourselves are happening within us. And so when you're getting treated with acupuncture, for example, you know, those natural processes are being taken into account and treated from that level. And same thing, you know, when we're treating our fascial system as a full body system, we're minding our wholeness in that. And, you know, when we were talking earlier about, you know, just the, forgive me, I'm not going to repeat this verbatim, I don't think, but just the intelligence of the body. if we look at the natural world and the intelligence of all the sentient beings, the creatures that are part of this world, and the way the water systems move and the weather systems, all that good stuff, there's a natural intelligence to that. And when we treat our bodies as like more of a machine without giving it that time and space and energy to rest when needed, to pull back from pushing it too hard, or maybe pushing it a little bit more because there's been too much lethargy, if you will. We're not taking into account that, okay, the body does know what it needs to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, oh, just forget any, modern intervention to help with the body, because sometimes that is straight up needed. Yet, if we can actually hear the whispers of our body being like, hey, girl, can you slow down a little bit? And if we actually listen to those messages, we're giving our bodies and ourselves a chance to reconnect with that innate wisdom, to reconnect with the microcosmic effects of what's already happening in the macrocosmic universe. I hope that
Beautiful.
all made sense.
Yes, it does. And when you mention it can be the opposite, I think I've had a call to move more recently. And we talked the night we went to dinner how, there's different choices. There's different things telling you what you should be doing based on your age and things like that. And I tend to want to do what's more organic these days because I did push for a lot of years. And, I knew enough in my early 40s to give up the whole running thing because I had run since I was like, or ran since I was 16 or something. And I was like, okay, it's time. And I had discovered bar workouts and I really love, I actually, that's like one of my favorite things. I've never delved into Pilates a ton yet, but I just feel like the gentle movement. But there, twice this week, I went on a half an hour walk. Then this morning, we do have a Peloton. I did a half an hour. It's just like, and part of that too was a self-honoring because, like a lot of women, I have a pattern of putting other things before myself. And so I'm like, if you sense that your body's calling for movement, then make time for it. And
Yes.
make time before, picking up the phone or, saying that like you have to figure out something for work. 'Cause I know my zone typically, I'm a natural morning mover, I think. But it's been interesting recently. I think a lot of like women when they get into their 50s too, and I think this is men too, we're sort of reevaluating like how can I live by like my internal guidance and what I want to do. And that's very empowering. And it like takes some sort of like being with and figuring out.
Absolutely. And we're getting thrown so much information, and it's awesome that we have so much information at our fingertips, but it can be very easy to negate what we're feeling our body needs. And one of the things, I've been practicing body work for 22 years, specifically myofascial release for 15, and especially within the past couple of years, not literally hearing the voice of my client's fascial tissue, but really feeling the personality of the fascial tissue. And the thing I love about the Barnes approach specifically is that in the Barnes approach, we're inviting the fascia to let go. So we press into what's called the fascial barrier that first minute or two of a session, and we're waiting for the fascia to be like, oh, the other aspect of the fascial system, it's a protective mechanism. So if something, for example, if you have a herniation in your low back, for example, your fascia is going to squeeze harder to protect the integrity of your spinal column because the spinal column itself can't do it on its own, if you will. So if you go in for a massage during an active herniation, I don't recommend doing that because then you're going to be releasing that protective tension pattern. But I digress. So with that being said, when the fascia receives the invitation and accepts it, and then starts taking the therapist's hands for a ride, like, okay, this is where we need to go and extend. When the fascia feels heard by the therapist on that level, or when you're self-treating yourself properly with a foam roller and therapy ball, there's a lot of misinformation out there on how to treat the fascia, by the way. But when you do that and your fascia feels heard, it can really just unwind and open up in a way that it's almost akin to when you're with your people, if you will, and you feel heard. I don't know. How do you feel when you feel really heard by someone?
relaxed, not needing to perform, not needing to protect.
Yeah, that's exactly how the body responds. And so I share that too, because with what you were sharing with me about feeling your body, like wanting some more movement and honoring it with the walk and doing some of the activities you've done, over time, your body is going to be like, oh my gosh, Maureen's hearing me.
Yeah.
And there will be just this more of a symbiotic relationship between you and your body. And anyone else listening that is, you know, following that kind of internalized, you know, listening and path, following what you're hearing, it's, you're going to feel better in your body as a result.
Oh, it's all so good. I mean, a lot of times you can see me, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so good. You know, kind of like we're turning towards the end of our time, but your business is called The Healing Eclectic. And I think that I had seen on your website that you're offering your work in your one-on-one clients. Those might be booked right now, but how are you offering your work? I know you mentioned different studios, but you know, where can we find your work for those of us in the area? And even for those of us not, I think you had something that said something like self-healing on your website. So can you just share that with us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, currently my in-person body work is at max capacity right now, but I do have an ongoing wait list. So when my schedule does open up, I do reach out to people. Right now, that's only happened a couple of times a year at most, but you know, anyone interested, they're welcome to get added to that. One of the things one of my mentors had shared with me one time was, you know, make sure your work extends beyond your hands. And I felt very inspired by that. So I do have a body of work online through my online portal called Fluidify Fascia and Wellness. There are a series of courses on there that people can take. For example, the Fluid Fascia is an online myofascial release self-care library. And you could go as deep down the rabbit hole with that as you want to, because I share anatomy videos, I share full flow sequences, but I also share one-off videos. Let's say on any given day, you're like, oh, my pec muscle feels really tight. I want to just treat that. Throw on that 10-minute pec release video and you will learn how to properly release that tension through my fascia release.
Awesome.
So that is an offer there. And I actually have a spring offer of 20% off of all courses. If you just put in the word SOMA, S-O-M-A, 20, you get a 20% discount at checkout. So that's one way people could currently work with me, if you will. The way two is that I have room for two more somatic coaching clients. That work is done virtually, and that is through a body-mind exploration to really help that body-mind connection heal, as well as help you feel more safe and present in the current moment. So there's a lot of nervous system regulation with that. And then from there, that really helps open up the pathway to your golden thread, to whatever your next call to move is. So people can book a 30-minute free discovery call with me to see if it's a good fit for you.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I've been following, as we've gotten to know each other, I see your Instagram. And is that under, which name is that under?
The Healing Eclectic as well.
Okay. Because those are, for anyone listening, those are really good videos that you've been making. And then I had seen, because I think I saw last minute, sort of the last class you were doing maybe last week on the myofascial release. So do you also go around and just offer different kind of workshops? I know you've got a background with healing circles even, but what's happening for you? Is that just here and there that kind of work is being done?
Yeah, right now that is being in the works of like trying to create a more consistency with that. But I have been invited by a few yoga studios in Evanston and in Chicago to teach workshops. Right now I am pausing for the summer months with that, but all of that will be up on my website whenever I have a workshop that's in place.
That's exciting. I think a lot of people are, I think this episode is just, people are going to love it. And you gave so much insight today into your work. And that's the interesting thing, is that we did talk a lot about the body and the myofascial and that angle, didn't even get to nervous system. And that's okay, because I think nervous system is one of those words that's really like getting out there. You hear people using it, you hear, so it's good. And I always say to my guest, if there is meant to be a part two, easy, easy, you know? So if there are listeners that want to know more, please reach out to either of us and we will make room for that. That's easy.
Oh, I would love that, because that is another rabbit hole conversation. And the myofascial system and nervous system are all in one. And there's a lot of fun exploratory work that I'm doing with clients right now. And I'm noticing longer lasting healing take effect when I send them home with certain nervous system regulation techniques.
I love that.
Cool. So yeah,
yeah,
I'll stop
you.
There with that.
Thank you. You know, what I always ask my guest at the end is there a parting message that might be coming through you that you feel is important for, you know, it's like the audience to hear, but for humanity at this time, in these times, just anything that's relevant.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the invitation for that. My main like heart message is, and my prayer, if you will, is that everybody starts to learn how to trust their hearts, their bodies, and their minds, because there's so much beauty and untapped wisdom within each and every one of us. And if each and every one of us even take just 5 minutes a day, it might seem like nothing, but you do that consistently enough, and that will have cumulative effects. If everyone can even just take 5 minutes a day to hear what your heart has to say, your body has to say, and you might not hear the message right away, and that's okay. But you just taking that time for yourself, that's honoring your body, that's honoring your heart, that's honoring you. Over time, you'll be able to hear more and more. And if everybody could hear themselves on that level and then go out into the world from that place, my feeling is we would be living in a much more peaceful, loving world. And that's my hope for all of us.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather, for being here. Thank you to the listeners as always. And we'll include everything in the show notes, where to find you and the references and the Soma 20 and everything for these courses. It sounds amazing. Oh, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Maureen. I'm so happy to have been here with you. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. All right. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.